Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Hey, how you doing on a football Friday? It is not Nathan Zagora with me. It will be Michael Regei in this particular show, but we'll get Nathan back in about a week or so, take a little time off. And then meanwhile, Reg and I are going to go at it today and talk about this Browns team that is completing week number three of OTAs. And then it gets even more ramped up next week when they get into the mandatory mini camp, really the final session of offseason workouts before training camp. We'll dive into all of that. Want to tell you that Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, he'll join us at 1:30. You're going to hear from Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com at 2:15. Always like to get Kevin's thoughts and the various projects he's working on. Has a really, really, really good shadowing of Carlos Dansby that was posted on ClevelandBrowns.com, kind of a day in the life. And this has been a very popular series for us. We're going to have Kevin talk about that and some other topics, as I said, at 2:15. You'll hear a sound from Jordan Cameron, the Browns' outstanding tight end, during a conversation with NFL.com. You're also going to hear from Nate Burleson, some sound from him that we got this week at about 2 p.m. We'll bring that to you. It's Friday, so it's Friday forecast time, and Reg and I will be going through about five topics with our great producer, Jason Gibbs, today. So a lot to cover, and our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, we start with some news. Quinton Groves, linebacker, and Larry Grant, both being waived by the Browns. A little surprise here, Reg, with Groves being waived, I thought, but it does tie in. Nathan and I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. The fact that this defense looks to have gotten so much better and so much more competitive, that finding a spot on this roster, on that defense, very difficult, and the first notable casualty of that is Quinton Groves.
Vic, so great to be with you as always, and a little bit of a surprise. I'm very, very enthused to encounter what we're going to see next week, though, Vic, and as you said, you and I are going to get into that quite a bit today with the mandatory minicamp that kind of has the tenor and sets the tone of what the players are going to find when they get back to get into their first preseason and then regular season mode. So that maybe is going to give us an idea of how all of this competition will play out. With regard to Quinton Groves, though, Vic, for me, a couple of things there. We know he was a Ray Horton lieutenant. Mm-hmm. And Quinton, unfortunately, got hurt, had the high ankle last year, wasn't able to play as much as he wanted to. And yet he was a staple, too, for Chris Tabor on special teams, correct?
Yes, he was.
So there, two things for me. Number one, can we speculate that maybe head coach Mike Pettine and his defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill, very, very taken by a couple of guys, very pleased with Barkevious Mingo, maybe pleased with Darius Eubanks. Mm-hmm. I know you had Eubanks, you and Nathan had Eubanks on the show the other day, did you not?
We did.
Heard a little bit of Darius. Yeah. So, Vic, these are things for me that, and maybe their skill sets, the younger guys, maybe as being with reps and getting in the linebacking rotation, and maybe being more versatile, can you play a little bit of inside? Can you step out on the edge if you need to? Vic, I think all of that ties in, and maybe that's one of the reasons that the veteran Quinton Groves was let go, because of what the performance level has been and even what's more expected of guys like Mingo and Eubanks.
I like your point right there about versatility. I think that's really the key to this decision with regard to Quinton Groves. I don't think it means Quinton Groves can't play multiple spots or is
right,
unable.
Right. Well, he'll latch on with somebody, Vic.
And
we know
he's for yeah, sure. And, yeah. And the first place I can see him landing is in Tennessee, mm-hmm. being reunited with Ray Horton there, who's
there you
the
go.
Defensive coordinator.
There
but
you
I
go.
Think that's I think this is twofold. I think part of it is, you know, maybe he didn't have enough of the versatility that we see in these other athletes. I mean, he certainly looks the profile, the longer, kind of leaner linebacker that you do see this Browns team favor, and especially seems like the kind of guy that Mike Pettine as a head coach, Jim O'Neill wants to have. And you just go through the profile list of the players that they've brought in, and they bring in a Chris Kirksey, who they signed to a contract yesterday. He fits that profile as well. You're putting him on the inside, but he certainly looks like he could easily be kicked to the outside if necessary.
Yeah.
So I think it's versatility. I think it's a guy maybe just a really good fit if you ask Ray Horton and the way Ray played defense in Arizona and the way he was playing it here in Cleveland last year. But now that is not the scheme. Mm-hmm. He is not the fit in that regard. I thought he was a veteran who kind of took good care of himself, but I think this makes a statement that this team feels it has better players already, that it's improved what these coaches inherited, and then they just move on. And I think we're going to see more of this, but I think the tighter and greater competition is on this defensive side of the ball.
Yes, Vic, no doubt about that. Competition level has taken a large quantum jump up. But, Vic, can we make a case? When I look at what could happen, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the show, but this will kind of serve as our verbal tease to this. And I think we can make a case that when you look at what's going to take place defensively, as you just pointed out, because of scheme, versatility, and what individuals for the betterment of the team are going to be asked to do, Vic, when you look at that defensive line and then the linebacking core, and we might as well take it right into the secondary as well, the competition is probably going to be so intense and so ramped up, we may see more surprises as guys who might not be able to land a spot on this final roster, or at least the beginning of the season roster. Vic, Armani Bryant, young man like that, you know, the guys like him, we mentioned Darius Eubanks, some of the young players in the secondary, whether it's Bottomosi or Aubrey, these are young men that I got a feeling are thought very highly of, which means you get into a numbers game, right? And when you get into that on the defensive side of the football, guys better be ready to go. They better have it all. The motor better be running real, real high for everybody because jobs are going to be at stake.
Yeah, it's a harder roster to make. It should be. That's the goal year after year. So I think in particular when you're bringing in new people, not only those who are coaching the players, but selecting the players. And Ray Farmer, as much as he was part of a personnel staff previously, he wasn't the decision maker he is now. So in that role, Ray Farmer, I think, has his vision that's being carried out. To some degree, of course, he's involved in the process of bringing in some of the players we mentioned, the Armani Bryants and to a certain extent, Quentin Groves. I mean, players who were brought in under the previous watch are guys who could be shown the door depending on how this evolves. And remember, you're meshing your thoughts as a personnel guy. If you're doing your job right as a personnel guy, you're putting in place the right fits for your offensive and defensive coaching staff. You're making your coaching staff coach people that fit what they do. You don't try to put the square peg round hole thing. And teams that do that because the personnel guy's ego gets in the way or the coach's ego gets in the way have problems. I see a meshing going on here. I see these two parties working together.
Yeah.
And I think it's not only in the acquisition side, but it's going to work on the side of cutting players. When the time comes to get this roster down to 53, we are going to see some, I think, notable names, at least people that we've seen on this team. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, you know, what their rate of attrition is going to be, survival is going to be when we get down to those cuts, because it's a different look, a different feel. And I absolutely believe a very competitive situation on the defensive side. On the offensive side, I'm not so sure, Michael. As I look at that, I think that's much more of a wide open canvas. And obviously the question about Josh Gordon, what that does to the receiver position and how much that door is wide open. And then you don't have a Miles Austin on the field yet. You don't have Nate Burleson on the field yet. You're hoping sometime soon. Do you see either of those guys through this mandatory minicamp week? I'm skeptical of that. I think it's going to be more of a training camp type of thing when we see them out there. But those question marks, in addition to the Gordon question mark, and then you sort of see what you have. So a guy like Anthony Armstrong looks pretty good.
Yeah.
A fringe player looks like, well, right now, is he competing for possibly a lot of playing time as a number two?
The last couple of weeks, didn't he?
Those are the interesting questions that I think emerge there.
Yeah, Charles Johnson is very, very much, though, I think, Vic, a key. And for all of you, Charles Johnson, who's, well, we haven't seen him yet, but 6'2", 220-pound wideout who the Green Bay Packer organization raved about. Now, coming off the ACL, but Vic, as we know, with the type of size, and again, from what Green Bay had with him, didn't want to lose him, wound up here with the Browns, has to be able, obviously, to show that he is going to be at full go and fully capable of doing the type of things. But he has the type of skills and the type of explosiveness, if he's right, that could heavily impact the receiving core as well. But, Vic, real quick, I think the offensive line is going to be very, very interesting for a lot of different reasons, and we'll get into this a little bit later on. But, Vic, it's an area that I honed in on and love to hone in on because, Vic, you and I have talked about this off air. I am really I love the zone blocking scheme in the run game that Kyle Shanahan has brought from first Houston and now Washington, where he's been ultra successful in it. So Vic, I spent a lot of time during the last couple of weeks. You know, it sounds maybe a little bit geekish, but I spent a lot of time looking at the offensive guards.
It's a good thing to do.
It is because Vic, think about what they're going to be. They're going to be asked to be more athletic, to be able to run. I know it's only in a 10 to 12-yard burst, but, Vic, as we saw, and whether it was 7-on-7 or just working the run game or whether it was 11-on-11, you know, we saw the guards during these OTAs. They are asked to stretch it a little bit, be able to get out to the edge. Yes, they're one-cut runners, but this is going to be required of them. So it's going to ramp up competition, and I don't want to say we'll see a surprise there. Right now you got the rook, Joel Bitonio, running with the ones between Mack and Thomas on the left side. But, you know, again, Johnny Greco right now, the one on the right side. But you got Paul McQuiston, right? You got Jason Pinkston in the mix. So competition level there is going to be very, very intense. And I think we're going to start to see some of it this coming week at the Mandatory Mini.
Yeah, we want to see, of course, the health status of Joel Bitonio. He had the ankle issue recently last week, and we'll see how well he can recover from that. Does he get shut down for the rest of the offseason workouts to make sure that that ankle will be 100% when he's in camp? They are relying heavily on that guy. I agree with your points about competition, but the best of that group, I think, by far is Joel Bitonio, and he jumps out at you as a rookie. Maybe says something about what was lacking there, that a rookie steps in and can show what he's shown. But also, he's got some extraordinary skills, and he's a guy who his first step is quick step. I've heard scouts say they haven't seen that kind of first step from a lineman at really anywhere in a long, long time. I'm hearing those kind of compliments for this guy.
And that's why he warranted a pick high in the second round
pick.
That's exactly why he warranted that.
Yeah, he was targeted because they knew what this guy was all about. Not to mention the other parts of his game, the knowledge, the mental makeup, the toughness, all those things that he'll also bring, those ingredients. And frankly, seeing Paul McQuiston line up in the same spot, it's not the same thing. He's a stiffer athlete. I think Paul is a hold-the-fort guy more for you than a starter for you, very blunt about it.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I'm with you on that. And probably a little bit more comfortable as he did in if you got to play him for a stretch, probably more comfortable at tackle, a little bit on the outside. But we'll see how that plays out. But back to Bitonio. Vic, the biggest thing, all of that, mean man, nasty, wants to get off his block, you know, initially, whether it's a D tackle or DN, and then go to that next level and go drill a linebacker or a strong safety walking up into the box. That's what I love about him. And don't think for a minute that wasn't a big part. You mentioned the first step explosiveness, but he comes with a little bit of a different character of mindset. Vic, he is mean, and this football team needs that on the offensive side.
I know his last head coach at Nevada quite well, and of course the whole family, because it's Brian Polian and the whole Polian family. And just talking with them, and Bill, the former GM, six-time NFL Executive of the Year, quite familiar with Joe Petonio, and he told me, he says, you've got a good one there, and you got a special guy there, and he said he is nasty, and he said that's the attitude. I mean, he was always particular about finding the right fits for offensive linemen. I mean, think about it. When you drafted for Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, as he did, running that no-huddle offense, you had to have an offense that emanated from the line of scrimmage with all the play calls by Manning, guys who had to move, guys who had to be smart, think on their feet. He can recognize that. And, of course, back in the days with the Buffalo Bills, same type of thing with that K-gun offense. So when he's excited about alignment, I know he's looking at the profile of some very special people that he's drafted through the years. All right, we're going to have much more. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Want your calls. Want to hear all that you have to tell us about this team as it enters into this next phase, the most critical phase of off-season workouts, the mandatory minicamp that is coming up next week. As Michael has alluded to, it does get ramped up then as preparation for training camp in late July. So we want to get into thoughts on that and want to tell you that Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us at the bottom of the hour. We're just getting this thing kicked off. It's a football Friday. He is Michael Ragai. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.